We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The John Heyman Report is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips haircuts and check in. By Brother Supply, New York's number one source for ice air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. And by Greenwich Hospital, the legend known as John Heyman. How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm very excited to hear about the Woodmere Bowling Lanes. I spent my youth there.
I don't know
if you spent much time there.
Well,
fantastic.
I'm going to be honest with you. I liked Woodmere Bowling Lanes. I would go there in the afternoons. Me and my friend Chad would have these bowling duels. I actually bowled my career high there at 211. I'll never forget it. I had it printed out, and the printing has faded. But I started to cheat on Woodmere Bowling Lanes when I laid my eyes on the Rockville Center Bowling Lanes.
I don't know that one.
Oh.
Okay. No, Woodmere, I liked. Remember the red pin they had there?
Yes.
When the red pin would
yes.
come down, you get a strike, you get a free
yes.
game. That was fantastic.
Dude, I had one night on a Saturday night. I was owning that crap, man. Every time that red pin came up, it was like, I was money. I was like Mariano Rivera trying to save a game. Oh, it was great.
Fantastic. Great for you. I know we had a friend. I had a friend, Bernie Goldberg, not a great bowler, fantastic guy. Went to Lawrence High School with him, and he made us stay. It was open all night. He made us stay
wow.
until 4 in the morning until he finally got the red pin with a strike.
Wow.
He must have missed it 10 times.
That's not nice of Bernie. I mean, seriously,
well,
you got to stay there all
friends.
Night.
He's a friend, and he wanted to win on the red pin, so we probably paid for 50 games before he finally got the free game, but it was well worth it.
No, absolutely. I mean, the satisfaction of knocking that red pin down, man, it's great.
Awesome.
All right, number one, you just tweeted the Yankees and Gardner are working out a deal. That's going to get done, you think? Soon?
I would think so, just because it's Brett Gardner, and he's been loyal forever. He had a great year. They want to bring him back. You know, last I heard, they hadn't were close. They didn't have anything really that was ready to go, but they did it quickly last year at what I thought was an overpay and turned out to be an incredible bargain. So I think they'll figure it out.
Look, on a one-year deal, there's no risk. He had the best season of his career last year, which is amazing to say at 35 years old. So for that, are they gonna have to give him significantly more money than the $7.5 or $8 million he got last year?
My assumption is he's probably looking for a two-year deal at the start.
Oh, really?
We'll see where it comes down to, but he certainly would get a raise off of the year that he had.
All right, what'd you think of the Beltran hire?
You know, I think, like a lot of people, that it's a risk. You know, he has not managed before. New York is not easy. Most places are not easy, but New York is particularly not easy. They didn't love Mickey Callaway, obviously, and I think Mickey was better than most gave him credit for. He improved from 70 wins to 86, and he was not experienced, and it showed at times. And, I do think it's good they're looking for experience in the bench coach. I don't get what San Diego did, hiring an experience in both positions. I think that's really a gamble, but I think that the hiring of Beltran is a gamble. I'm a little surprised because there had been reports suggesting Perez, and they had so many interviews. And, you know, in an interview setting, I would think Perez would be absolutely fantastic and had a good chance to win the day. But, you know, it's all about relationships and networking. And obviously Allard Baird and Omar Minaya, who still have a good big say there. We did know all along that they would be supporting Carlos Beltran. So I shouldn't be too shocked, but I think it's a gamble.
Do you have any idea what kind of money he's getting? Is he getting the typical first-time manager money?
He doesn't need money. He doesn't need money. So he made $221 million in his career, so I don't think it's relevant what he's getting to him. I've seen that he's getting, yes, somewhere along the lines of the typical managerial
okay.
pay, which is around $1 million a year. But I don't have that confirmed for sure, but that's what I was suspecting,
you know why
and that's
we,
what I've seen.
You know why we care? Now, I understand Beltran doesn't need the money, but you know what? A lot of people don't need the money. They're still going to negotiate to get the most money. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the way the world works. I have a lot of money. Who cares? You still want the most money. We as Met fans care. Because we don't trust the ownership of this baseball team. We don't. So we always look at the financials to try to keep them in check. and kind of call them out if we think they're going on
and
the cheap.
You guys wanted Girardi, who we assume, if he didn't get the $4 million, he probably got $3 million a year, and it's significantly more money. So I understand that thought. I think it was more about the comfort and the interview and the relationship and all that. And I don't think that I think my first instinct months ago was right, that they weren't going to go toward Girardi, that Brody and company are going to want their own guy and not bring in an ex-Yankee with a strong personality. I understand why Philly was praised. They're doing it the way they did. They targeted guys who are experienced and excellent at their job. Showalter, Dusty Baker, and Girardi, and obviously pick Girardi. So it's easier to do it that way, and you're going to get praise for that. And I get why the Mets are not getting praise. And as I've said, I think it's a gamble the way they went.
Who's going to be the bench coach?
You know, I don't know. I saw that they got busted, maybe, because they had Jerry Nairn's portfolio on their desk.
Right.
So he's certainly a candidate. He left in Arizona, and he's got experience with the National League, which they like. I mean, Terry Collins would be the interesting one. Obviously, he had some success getting the World Series with the Mets.
John, what's the holdup with Terry? Does he not want to do it? Because it seems like Carlos clearly wants him.
Yeah, it does feel like he wants him. So I think they're, he's got a long, like Girardi, he's got a long track record, and they know it better than they knew Girardi, so they know the good and the not as good. So, I think that probably the organization is not sold on this is the way to go. And it does look funny to bring back the guy who had already been a manager in that job. I'm not saying he's going to campaign or undercut, and I don't believe that he would, but it would be an unusual hire. So I understand why they're looking around.
What jumped out at me was Carlos was on with Mike, right? And Francesa says to him, I don't know if you heard he's leaving again, but we're going to
retire. I did. Are we having a retirement party?
No, not this time. Well, he's not retiring. Okay. He's just going to do, I don't know what he's going to do. Anyhow, he had Carlos on. And asked him, what manager? Well, I can't do his imitation. Let Giannotti do it. What manager?
So funny though.
I try. What managers influenced you? You know, something in the regards to that. Now, Carlos has had a lot of managers. Ernie and I were playing a game off air to try to see how many managers we can name, like Tony Pena, who I got, Tony Muser, who I forgot about, Willie Randolph, Jerry Manuel, A.J. Hinch, Joe Girardi, Phil Garner, Mike Matheny. Really long list. A lot of good Bruce Bochy. A lot of really good managers. A lot of good ones. He went out of his way to talk about Collins. Out of his way. Collins, Terry Collins, a first name and really the only name he mentioned to Mike. That jumped out at me, that Terry only managed him for a short period of time. He did it in a year in which the Mets weren't very good. That's a real compliment to Terry Collins, that amongst all those names, he's the guy, for whatever reason, that really jumped out at Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he wants him. I mean, I have not heard that from him directly, but I think the site, Mets Verize, said right away that they heard that that's the guy that he named when he had his interview with the Yankees and with the Mets as well, and I'll take this interview at face value, and that's the guy he wants. Obviously, he probably knew he wasn't getting A.J. Hinch as his bench coach or Joe Girardi or, for that matter, Bruce Bochy. he obviously has a rapport with Collins, and that's how you get jobs, is networking and relationships. So does that mean he's going to get his guy? I don't think it's a guarantee because you know how it works these days. It's a very collaborative effort.
Well,
you know that, right?
I get it's collaborative. Beltran has basically admitted that. He loves that. He's okay with that. If he wants Terry Collins to be his bench coach, Terry Collins is more than qualified to be the bench coach of the New York Mets. As long as Terry wants it, to me, the debate is over. There is no discussion. I think that you have to give the manager somebody they feel comfortable with, somebody that they can trust. And clearly, he has a deep trust and respect for Terry Collins. So it should be a no-brainer.
Okay. Fair opinion. I certainly understand that opinion. And Collins is certainly qualified for the job. He's a National League guy, long time. And he's comfortable with him. I'm not opposed. If that's the guy that he wants, I'm fine with it.
All right.
I'm just saying they appear to be looking around. Based on the tweet that we saw in the portfolio of Jerry Nairn on the desk, I think they are looking around. I thought they were looking around anyway, just to be sure. But I'm not going to be shocked if they go back and make it Collins.
John Heyman on the baseball. Let's get to Didi. So the Yankees decide not to give him the qualifying offer. which means they would get no draft pick if he left. And it also means Didi doesn't have the option to accept a one-year, $18 million deal, whatever that exact figure is. What's your sense for how aggressive the Yankees will be in keeping Didi Gregorius?
They like Didi. They'd like him to stay. But I don't think they're desperate in the situation. They've got Gleyber Torres, who can play shortstop, and they've got LeMahieu, who we know is fantastic at second. So, it's not a situation where they have a hole and a need. I think they like him. He fits New York. He was a great teammate, a great Yankee, and that ballpark is, for him, too, fantastic for him. He should want to stay because he is a dead pull hitter. And, I think coming off of the year that he had with the Tommy John surgery and not the numbers that we were accustomed to, wouldn't be a bad idea for him to come back on a one-year deal. Now, without the qualifying offer, he'll probably be able to get a multi-year deal elsewhere. But I think it would behoove him to try to come back on a good one-year deal.
Sure,
if I'm him, that's what I would try to do.
Do you think he's got?
For me to say,
does he have a bigger market than that? I mean, are there other teams that would give him?
I think he would. Yes, I think he could get a multi-year deal, but I don't think it's going to be at the right value for him. I think he's an excellent player.
I do too.
He did not perform to that ability last year, so. Do you want to sign a deal that you're really not thrilled with, a multi-year deal elsewhere? I think the Yankees would love to have him back, and I don't know if they would go multi, but I'm sure they would do a one-year deal for him or Betances. They'd be interested in bringing him back on a one-year deal as well. Betances, I think, will have to take a one-year deal off of the injury-plagued year that he had. But Gregorius obviously came back, was not himself, but he'll get multi-year offers elsewhere, I'm sure.
The problem with losing Didi, and I understand what you said, and a lot of Yankee fans will say, that you can easily replace him because you have Gleyber Torres. You have DJ LeMahieu that you can play at multiple positions, Gio Urshela, obviously, and Miguel Andujar coming back. But none of those guys that I just mentioned are left-hand hitters, and Didi is. And we know the Yankees do not have a lot of left-hand hitters in their lineup. So if they let Didi go because some other team made him a better offer, where is the left-handedness coming from? I mean, we get it. Brett Gardner will be back, and Mike Tauchman will be back, but Greg Bird stinks. It's not going to be Greg Bird. So,
well, he's injury-prone. Stinks is a little bit strong.
What are his career numbers?
Yeah.
His career numbers say he's not a good baseball player. Now, we could excuse him and say
he's got a beautiful swing, though, you know.
Okay, that's great. His beautiful swing has a .211 career batting average.
That's a bit low for a first baseman. But, you know, they look at other numbers now. You look at OPS and other numbers.
His OPS isn't that good either. I mean, listen, Greg Bird's not good. What are we going to say?
They could look at first base to pick up a left-handed hitter, I'm sure. There are other ways to do it. It's another reason to bring Gardner back, another lefty who hit some home runs. So, like I said, they want to bring Gregorius back, but
it's a mistake if they
had. It's going to be more at their number than at his number at this point.
I get
it. He's not going to be getting that Bogaerts deal at this point.
Well, I'm not suggesting he does. And look, if there is an owner or a team that gives him a ridiculous contract, then I'd say, hey, whatever, you have to let him go. That stinks. But I think overall, if the prices are right, they got to bring Didi Gregorius back.
Yeah,
I think it's foolish
guy
to let him go.
Great guy for the team, incredible teammate by all accounts, and perfect for that ballpark, left-handed, solid all around, did a great job in a difficult spot replacing a legend, all positive. But like I said, they're going to be multi-year offers out there for him, not probably to the ones he thought he'd be looking at last year when they were talking about a multi-year deal. I think it works out for both sides if he comes back on a good one-year
deal. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. We're talking to John Heyman. Steven Strasburg is officially a free agent. He opted out. Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, both Southern California guys, both had, pretty good years. Strasburg had a good season. Gerrit Cole had a great season. Steven Strasburg had an amazing postseason. Who gets more? Who gets more years? Who gets more money? Forget about where they're going. How much is each guy getting in your mind?
That's an easy one. Cole will get more. Cole's not 30 years old yet. He had an amazing, incredible regular season and postseason. Strasburg, World Series MVP, had an incredible postseason. I think he had better than a good regular season. I mean, he's going to be in the top five in Cy Young voting. I won't say where I voted. Again, that's my vote.
No,
but
boy,
he's going to be in the top five somewhere on the regular season. In postseason, he's fantastic. But he's a little bit older than Cole. And Cole was more dominant in the strikeouts. What did he have, 320 strikeouts, something like that? People love that these days. And, I mean, he just had an amazing season, and particularly in the second half. So, He's going to get, I'm going to say he's going to get 245. The record is 217 by David Price. There's no question he's going to beat that. I've seen higher predictions than 245, but that's going to
how
be
many
my
years?
Prediction. Strasburg, I think, is going to get, I've seen people say, oh, they should add a year or 2 years. I think he's going to get a raise, too, because the $25 million, I know it's a lot of money, but he's one of the best four or five pitchers in the game, and right now those pitchers are getting over $30 million. So I think he will get $30 million plus per year, and he will get a couple extra years probably. I think that Strasburg, if I had a guess, I'm going to say he'll stay with the Nats. He seems to be comfortable there. They need to keep at least one between him and Rendon. I know they're trying for both, and
right.
They've got money coming off the books. They got a lot of guys who they no longer have to pay, who made pretty significant money. So they may be able to keep both. Cole, there are rumors all over the place that he'd rather like to be in Southern California. I think Josh Reddick guessed that he would be west of Nevada. I thought that was pretty telling, but ultimately he's going to go for the most money. You saw him with the Boris cap at the end of the World Series. So if the Yankees are the high bidder, I think they get him.
No, and I think that's logical. CC Sabathia said that on his great podcast he does with Ryan Rucco, where, hey, just show him the money. And that's basically what the Yankees did to CC. But are the Yankees going to do that? Are they prepared to offer that kind of figure? You said 245.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they are. Yeah.
Well, then
they're not getting... In 2009, they went crazy, and Sabathia had a – people thought he'd go to California, and he had a nice offer from the Angels for nine figures, and he took the higher offer, as he talked about on the podcast, and that's what most guys do. Are the Yankees going to do that? These aren't the days of George Steinbrenner anymore, so it's a little bit more difficult to predict what they'll do. 2009, they went crazy. They ended up winning the World Series, signing Teixeira, Burnett, and Sabathia. They had kind of a mini spending spree a few years later with all the guys, Ellsbury and the rest. That didn't work out as well. Cole is the guy they've tried for twice in the past, so they'll definitely be in there. Are they going to outbid the Angels? There are a couple things with the Angels. They have not had, other than Trout, who has been their own guy, is their own guy and is the best player in the game, they have not had good luck with their big contracts. I mean, obviously Hamilton did not work out. I think Pujols can be excused. He probably hasn't earned the $240 million, but they had a TV deal working then, and I think it probably was tied to that. They had the pitcher, Wilson, from Texas, who they signed for $77 million. That didn't work, so... I don't think it's any slam dunk that he's going to the Angels, but you hear the rumors that that'd be the favorite spot for him.
Here's the problem. Okay, now I get there are some Yankee fans that say we should spend $800 million, and I know that's not realistic, and I don't know if that would have been realistic even if George was around right now. But if you have a budget, right, and that budget's a high number, I think every Yankee fan has to admit their budget is a high number. The thing that would tick me off would be the fact that they traded for Giancarlo Stanton. That would annoy me. I'd say, wait a second. I know I didn't give up a lot in prospects, but I just invested in this contract, despite all the money the Marlins are giving me in it, and a contract like that is keeping me from potentially signing Steven Strasburg or signing Gerrit Cole. And so that move, and I'm not even talking about him barely playing this year and missing in the playoffs, the decision to bring in another slugger and pay him that kind of money is a bad decision, John, if that keeps
right.
you from bidding for these starting pitchers.
Well, right now it doesn't look like the right decision. I was not opposed at the time. I'd seen him hit the 59 home runs in the cavernous ballpark, Marlins Park, and it looked like it made sense at the time for the Yankees, although they did have Judge. They did have the big right-handed power hitter who played corner outfield spot. So, yeah, right at this moment, that doesn't look like a great idea. And if that's what's keeping him, that's not great either. And I think I saw Giancarlo told TMZ that he'd love them to sign both Strasburg and Cole. So I'm sure all the players would like that. They obviously look like they need to improve that rotation in some way, whether it's one of those two or somebody else. I think swung back and forth between emphasis on bullpen, emphasis on rotation, and this year seemed to be the rotation year where the teams that had the great rotations really went far. Houston had the best 1-2 punch in the game. I think Washington had the second best 1-2 punch in the game, and probably along with the Mets, the most depth in rotation. So, I don't know if that's going to make teams swing back or not, but the Yankees obviously need to improve that rotation some way, somehow. it doesn't guarantee that it's going to be Cole or Strasburg, who are obviously the top two guys. Madison Bumgarner certainly would fit them. You know, you heard stuff when
Absolutely.
He was on the market that they wouldn't go for him. The analytics weren't there. But, I mean, this guy's come up big in the big moments, and I think the Yankees appreciate that as well. So, and there are other guys as well. So, you know, this is a good, very good and deep market. I'll be shocked if they don't come up with anybody from that top echelon.
All right, I'm going to paraphrase this real quick. We're talking to John Heyman. The Braves general manager basically said in so many words, I'm talking to teams, I'm talking to GMs about what they're looking for, what they're going to do in free agency. That comment bothered the players because it sounds like, wait a second, why is he talking to other teams about what they may do in free agency? That sounds like collusion. And Tony Clark went after that. Anthopoulos basically has come out and said, that's not what I meant. I'm just trying to get a sense of what teams are thinking. I misspoke and I apologize. Who do you believe?
You know, I think he did misspeak, so I do believe Anthopoulos there, but I don't blame Tony Clark in this instance. They can't let something like that go because you can't be talking about other teams about what they're doing in free agency. That's not allowed. That's collusion. We've known that for years, that that is not only frowned upon, it's just against the rules. So I don't blame Tony Clark coming off the 2 years that they've come off where there were shockingly limited markets for some very good players. Obviously, the biggest players got huge deals, Harper and Machado, but there were very, very limited market for some very, very good players, and I understand their concern. I don't blame him for jumping on that comment, but reading that comment and looking at it, I kind of think he just probably just misspoke. You know, he's very cooperative with the media, which we appreciate. And I can't believe that there are other teams talking to him about their individual free agent decisions at this point. I would think that's very unlikely.
I agree with you. I think he misspoke. I think he's trying to figure out what teams want to do to know if they can match up in trades. I think it's a whole lot of nothing. But are we going to have an offseason that actually moves at a quick pace, or are we going to have another glaciered pace offseason? Because it's already November 7th, and, you know, I know Chase Anderson was traded to Toronto, but outside of that, it's been very, very quiet in the early goings.
Yeah, I'm hearing there's more signs of aggression on the part of teams, and I do think MLB would like to have a big winter meetings where there's a celebration of big deals. Does that mean the teams are going to follow through? I don't know that that follows. They would have loved Bryce Harper last year to announce he in Las Vegas that he was going to whatever team he chose, and he decided to wait another month and a half and signed right just before February. So, Scott Boras has the bulk of the biggest clients. He has got Rendon, he's got Strasburg, he's got Cole, and he's got some other pretty good ones too in Keuchel and Moustakas and Castellanos, and he typically takes a while. Now, if you recall, he doesn't always take a while. Bernie Williams signed back with the Yankees basically on Thanksgiving in 1998, and so it's not a foregone conclusion. It's going to take forever, but I don't think it's going to be quick.
All right, John. I know you need a cough. You need a cup of water.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I know that the NFL pick's coming up pretty
soon. Right. So I want to, we're going to save the Veterans Committee stuff for next week because I know Joe would definitely want to get into that with you. So next week we'll talk about the 10 finalists for the Veterans Committee for the Baseball Hall
Excellent.
Of Fame.
Excellent. And I voted for four of those guys, so I am rooting for them to
voted
come through and
four
get
of
some
them?
Of them in.
Ay, ay, ay. I got to tell you, I know I'm a tough marker. I'll be the first to tell you. I don't know if any of them are Hall of Famers, but that's a story for another day. Tonight, the Oakland Raiders are at home, which is still in Oakland. It's not Vegas yet. They are getting a point and a half against the Chargers of Los Angeles. The Chargers, 1.5 favorites in Oakland against the Raiders. John, your pick is whom?
I'm going with Oakland.
Going with the Raider Nation.
I'm going with the Raider Nation. Yeah, I can't claim to be one of them, but the Chargers had a big week last week, and I think they're going to come back down to earth.
All right, who's going to win?
And I'm hot, right? Haven't I won one or two in a row?
You're red hot. Now you won last week. You did. You
took like the red pin winner at
that's
right.
Lanes. You took the Cardinals getting all the points. You felt good. Who's going to win the Jet-Giant game? Give us a little bonus pick.
I got to go against my man Gaze. I think he's really terrible. I'm sorry to tell you guys that.
Oh, yeah.
You think I'm an expert, but he was here in Miami. I thought he was really terrible here, and he looks like he's gotten worse.
Well, we agree with you, so you hit it right on the head there. Thank you, John.
Good,
always
good
great.
Good hands-on agreement.
Exactly. Thanks, John. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Thanks, guys.
John Heyman on the baseball, his weekly spot. Next week, we get to the Veterans Committee stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.